The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 174. Now, many of you may look at the calendar and go, oh my, it's really close to Thanksgiving time. But wrestling fans look at the calendar, especially in November, and go, oh my, it's almost time for the Survivor Series. That's right. The annual event that the WWE always puts on in November, one of the big four pay-per-views, the Survivor Series is coming up this weekend, and we need to talk about it. That's right, and when I say we, I mean, of course, the Buddy Roberts and Terry Gordy to my Michael Hayes. I'm talking about Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze joining me here on episode 174 to give our thoughts, our opinions, give a little preview of the Survivor Series, which once again, much like it was last year, is going to feature Raw versus SmackDown. We'll get all into all of the matches and whatnot, and we'll even touch a little bit on the NXT War Games show that is the night before. We're going to just give you everything that we got in terms of our opinions, our thoughts, our insights, and just drop it on you like we normally do. And of course, there's some hijinks involved. There always is when the three of us get together. So I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, tablet, MP3 player, whatever. For you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you could check out their awesome service. I've told you about all the various different wrestling books that they have in their catalog, so trust me, this is a great opportunity to check out their service. I mean, it's a free audiobook, people. And to download that free audiobook, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your free audiobook. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a very quick break. And on the other side of the break, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and I give you the Survivor Series preview. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sitting down here tonight, getting ready to talk about the Survivor Series, I'm joined by Ringside Rand.
Good evening, mortals.
DJ Joey Blaze.
Well, hello, guys.
Oh, okay, so we're doing funny accents today? Is that what we're doing?
I didn't really find it that funny. It was just an accent.
All right, well, we got tons of stuff to talk about. Because, Rand, I think you said it best off-air, is it's been an unusual week for Raw and SmackDown. So, shall we just go ahead and talk about the... I guess you could say the elephant in the room.
Is it another fat joke?
No, it's not another fat joke.
Oh. It's the same fat joke.
Okay. Nice. Touché.
Well, Becky Lynch is out of Survivor Series because she has a broken face and a concussion thanks to a misfired punch, I guess you could say, from Nia Jax.
Did you see it? Have you seen the punch?
I have seen it.
That's she clocked her, a good one.
She did.
But
she
what's did. What even I love is the Twitter war that's now going on between her and Ronnie, that she's calling her Ronnie.
Uh-huh.
I am thoroughly into the whole Becky Lynch character. I thought that was one of the best endings of Raw in the longest time, and I was so happy for the women's division with the way it ended.
Was it good because it was the women doing it, or it was well done.
It was both. I would say both.
I thought it was both, too.
I would agree, too. I would say it's both because it was, you know, A, something that you maybe didn't necessarily expect, and that it was a well-done, thought-out angle, too. Because, look, because we all know this time of year, you're going to get the big schmaws with the two traditional teams. It's happened every damn year since they've been having this event.
Screwjob season. That's exactly what Survivor Series is.
True. That's true as well. It could be both. Right. Schmaz and Screwjob season.
I think I have an adult movie named that. So.
Bet you do.
I probably own it.
Actually, when you said elephant in the room, I was going the other way.
You own that adult movie? That was Elephantitis.
Oh. Yeah. I was thinking of Dan O'Brien's heel turn.
Wait, Titus O'Neil has an adult movie?
From Dan and Dave, the Reebok commercial, the guys are in the Olympics. That might be too dated for some people out there. I better watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Pull out your VHS tapes and watch that one.
Betamax.
Some people don't even know what the hell Betamax is, so you just even lost people
further.
Just,
like usual, we just made everybody go to sleep.
So exactly.
That's our version of the GTS.
Okay, Daniel Bryan's heel turn. Yeah, I thought that was very, very shocking, and I guess it's been something that Daniel Bryan has been wanting to do from what I read online today was that he has been pitching this idea for a while, and I guess Vince decided just to go ahead with the turn just yesterday. Like, it wasn't really discussed much. It was just Dave's show. Let's do it.
I love what happened. Like,
sure.
It's something that could have been, I mean, just, you thought, you know what's going to happen because they already got the match signed. And then, boom, I loved it. I thought it was great. I was actually speaking to a gentleman today at Tuttle Crossing Mall that runs the Lids there. He's a big wrestling fan. It took me a little bit to get it out of him. He's a really quiet guy. And I just shooting the shit with him. And he doesn't like it.
Why not?
He's not a Daniel Bryan fan. Oh. He's an AJ Styles fan.
Oh, okay.
So, but what I like, though, is I think it sets up a feud that I wish they would have ran closer to Royal Rumble. But I think you're going to see this carry on to Royal Rumble for a huge match between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan at Royal Rumble.
Well, one thing I didn't know is it was mentioned online, again, as I was doing some research for this podcast, that Daniel Bryan has stated that his dream match would be against Lesnar. So we're going to get that, his dream match. However, you know, I don't know. Now that clouds things a little bit, if you will, for me and my predictions, because I had that Brock Lesnar was going to beat AJ Styles again.
I would think he would beat Daniel Bryan. That would make the most sense.
I think so, too, due to the exposure that he's getting, you know, with the UFC and the WWE. I think you have to go that way, but I don't know. I think that it's going to be an interesting matchup.
You can't make him look weak doing stuff together with the UFC. That's why it's really hard to write this. They shouldn't have put the belt back on him. They could have still made him look strong without the belt, in my opinion.
Correct.
And still carried on and did some really cool things with him. With that said, I think it might end a disqualification where AJ Styles actually intervenes the match.
Oh, okay. Rand, what are your thoughts on
Lesnar? I think a lot of this is the fallout from Joe or Roman Reigns getting sick. That they had a lot of ideas and they had to scramble.
Sure, sure.
I think the Dean Ambrose Seth Rollins is an idea that wasn't concrete. I think that was something that came up when Joe, I don't remember Roman Reigns' real last name.
It's one of those Samoan last names that I can't pronounce.
Apostrophes and A's all over. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but
we wish him well, but I think a lot of things had to scramble when he goes down.
Sure, yeah.
And I think Becky Lynch getting injured.
Threw a wrench and things,
scrambled that because I really thought that Charlotte and Ronda would be WrestleMania.
True, and that's probably what was the original plan to build towards that, but
I would have actually, in my opinion, I would have put Asuka in that spot. I see where they're going because of the respect because they just had that feud, but I'd have put Asuka in that spot. You could still make Asuka look strong because she was all getting all the push. All of a sudden, they just pulled the rug out from underneath her, and I think that would kind of put her back there. Made her look strong, but still got Ronda Rousey over.
Right. Yeah. That was the same thing last night when I was watching SmackDown. Like, there's only two logical choices here. When they were doing Becky names her replacement, I was like, it's got to be Charlotte Flair. Or I said Asuka, because, I mean, those are the only two believable ones, with all due respect to all those other women, but they haven't
been. You mean Mel is not money? Or they could have put the truth in there.
The truth against Ronda Rousey?
Because he wants to rest. wrestle so he could take on Carmella for the women's title.
This all is right. If James Ellsworth is busy at some shopping mall in the state of Maryland.
Hey, no, he's appeared on Impact now. He's appeared on Impact. All right, so Rand, who do you think wins in Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar?
I don't think it's going to be a clear decision. I think there's going to be either Braun and or AJ gets involved.
Okay.
I would like to see Braun, but I see them. He's going to take out Baron Corbin. That's his main focus right now. Then they're going to do Lesnar, Braun at Rumble. Excuse me. So I don't see that. I don't see Braun getting involved as much as AJ.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure that Roman Reigns is back then. I think the surest bet to make right now is Braun Strowman wins the Rumble.
Have they even mentioned a possible return for Roman Reigns? I mean, I'm assuming that's a long-term type of...
Depending on how bad it is, yeah. I don't even want to speculate on that.
I don't either. I'm just assuming that he's going to be gone for a very long time.
But no, I think that'd be great. I think putting Braun in to win the Rumble would be awesome, but they're not going to have Braun versus anybody at Mania like that. I think if Braun wins a title, he's going to win it when he wrestles Lesnar at the Rumble. I see somebody out of the blue taking. That's going to be a whole other podcast, I'm sure. But that's my personal opinion. I don't see Strowman interfering in this match because he wants to win the match for Raw, then he wants to beat the crap out of Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the direction they're going with that feud. So I see him feuding with Corbin up to maybe at least up till the December pay-per-view, then leading into the Rumble, building something with Lesnar.
In many ways, Strowman should have been champ by now.
Yeah, I mean
they're treading water with him.
They've said a lot about backstage heat that he's had. I don't ever see how him of all people has any heat. Like, he goes out and does what he's supposed to do and goes back.
I don't know about that. But I do agree with you, Rand. I think that there's a big question mark as to why are they hesitant to pull the trigger and just put the belt on him. I don't know. That's a great question. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about then the since we're talking about Braun Strowman. So you got Team Raw, Ziggler, Drew, McIntyre, Strowman, Finn, and Bobby Lashley. Yes.
So you're saying Schmoz for the main.
No,
Mando versus Brock.
No, I'm going with Brock going over somehow. No, there's some chicanery involved somehow.
Okay.
I think so.
Good word. It's a $10
word. I agree with you. I think that there's got to be something that I don't think either person goes over clean. I don't think you can do that. I think somehow it's got to be some type of screw job. I don't know if AJ gets involved. I think it makes sense what you mentioned. I think that makes perfect sense.
You can't keep
sense.
Him off the pay-per-view.
Right.
He's got to be there in some way.
Some way. Right. Which I thought he was going to be the replacement, but then they kind of switched everything around anyways on that team for SmackDown, you know, obviously, when they were talking about that. But so Team Raw against Team SmackDown, you have Miz, Shane, Ray, Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, 5-on-5. Survivor Series elimination match. What are you guys' thoughts on that one, Rand?
I really want Bobby Lashley and his son to go away.
That was the second best part of Raw was...
Elias calling child services.
Yes, that was hilarious.
That's why I popped for that. That was good.
That was, I don't understand the whole posing with his ass. He's not Billy Gunn. I don't understand the whole bending over. He's trying to tell everybody to kiss your ass. Okay. Yeah, Lashley needs to be a badass. This thing's stupid.
I think
that's dumb. But I still think with the talent that you have on the Raw side, if they don't go over, that would make them look weak, in my opinion. But there's a lot of things that might happen here. There's rumor of a Miz face turn.
Yes.
I don't know how they'll do that.
There's rumors of...
There's going to be lots of great high spots, though, because you have Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, and Shane on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see some crazy stuff. I think this might be... build more into a feud with maybe Shane and Dolph at some point to finish what they had go on overseas. I don't know, because that would be kind of a cool thing, I think, for them to do. But then they also talked about Shane having a heel turn. Does he turn his back on the team?
See, that's what I have. I feel Team Raw wins due to Shane screwing over everybody else. You know, somehow it comes down to maybe Shane and one of his other teammates, maybe The Miz. That would be a great way to turn him face. And somehow, you know, Shane screws over The Miz, so the Team Raw wins, you know, because Shane had already been eliminated before The Miz. So that's what I'm going with, I think, happens.
I'm still unhappy with Shane O'Mac winning the crown jewel.
Well, you know what, though?
That is so self-important, the McMahon family, putting himself in a storyline that didn't need to be there.
Well, I agree with that, Ram. But then I'm going to give credit where credit is due. One night I was eating dinner and I decided to listen to some podcasts. And one thing that popped up on my YouTube feed was Brian Alvarez's rant about Crown Jewel. I was like, well, I'm curious. I'll check it out. He made a very valid point. He made some very valid points. As a matter of fact, not just one, but in regards to the tournament that they had, because it was a joke of a tournament. It was a joke of the tournament in the fact that it was supposed to be the World Cup of WWE, but yet none of your world champions were in it. He goes, so it really doesn't matter to him. He looks at it this way, that it doesn't really matter that Shane won because it was a joke of a tournament anyway, so who gives a shit?
And there was nobody from around the world except Rey from Mexico.
Yeah, yeah, he actually made that point too. He goes, yeah, there's no other contingents from anywhere
else. And I see the point. They're putting these big names in there because when they... For the money, exactly. But when they ran that last show before that, they wanted to book names like Yokozuna, and they're like, just to let you know, Yokozuna's dead. They asked for some of these old names. I don't know, just their tapes are that far behind over there, but wow. they like the old school guys. That's why they blew the roof off for Hogan, which I found hilarious that he came out to Real American, and they're going crazy for him.
But well, back to Saudi Arabia is our friend in the Middle East.
But back, yeah, true. When they're not killing people, but back to the tournament. Yeah, I think he had a great take on that because, yeah, how can you have it without people with straps on it?
And that's why I gave up. I was like you, Rand. I was like, this is a bullshit. This is bullshit. Yeah. But then he's absolutely right. I agree with Brian Alvarez. It makes perfect sense. It's a joke of a tournament, so who really cares?
You'd have Chomp in there. You'd have your guy from UK in there.
Yeah, Pete Dunne,
like, not to be confused with Well Done.
Who they probably asked for. They probably asked for Well Done. Well Done versus the New Rockers. That's probably the match they wanted for Crown Jewel.
Yeah, with the...
Her foundation.
The new foundation at ringside.
Who?
Not exactly.
Who? Oh,
exactly.
He actually would be there, too, as
he
well.
He might, yeah, because he'd fit that dead qualification. But I'm sorry, I interrupted Rand about my rant. But I just, yeah, that was... Like, it makes sense. Like, you should have had all these guys there with titles, and it would have made way more sense.
Yeah.
But, like you said, they got paid money. They did it.
I kind of thought the whole thing was set up to give some kind of special honor to John Cena.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't even get involved.
Because he said, fuck that noise.
I'm not going to that human rights territory problem. Somebody else can win.
He could have got away with the excuses. Hey, guys, I need to shampoo my hair tonight. You could have got away with that excuse very easily.
So who do you think wins? Team Raw, Team SmackDown?
Team Raw.
Okay.
I am almost in total agreement with you. I think that's where you see these turns happen. And I think Strowman's might, even though they have such a strong team, mm-hmm. I think Strowman's a lone survivor.
Okay. Rand, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't see any way other than Shane O'Mac pulling some backstage shenanigans that they win.
So it's got to be Team Raw. All right. Okay, well, then let's go to, we've talked a little bit about it, Ronda Rousey. She's going to take on Charlotte Flair. It's going to be, as I mentioned, it's going to be interesting because originally it was being built to be Becky Lynch. So, DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think?
Did you catch my beautiful redhead on TV last night where she has stitches in her eyeball? That's where she got opened up.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was her nose, but she got opened up there, which is crazy. Thus, she had a concussion and whatnot. Which kind of, Nia Jax kind of a bad bitch to be able to hit somebody that hard. That's
you're swinging for the fences.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how not intentional that was. But, anyways, back to the match. I think Becky gets involved still because she might not be cleared to wrestle. I think she gets involved, and I think Charlotte wins. That way it can build towards a match with Charlotte, and that'll be something that they can play off of going into Mania. I still think you're going to see that match at Mania, and I think you're going to see somehow Becky still get one over on Ronda somewhere else. They'll still have that match at some point, but I think you're going to still see Charlotte versus Ronda because eventually they're going to build next year to the four horsewomen against each other, which makes total sense to kind of stretch it out that far.
Rand, what do you think?
I think somebody gets involved.
I agree, but I'm going to go against what you said, Joey, because I think they're really, really hesitant to let Becky Lynch get close to if she has another accident. I mean, just because of the way they're treating Alexa Bliss.
I don't see her running out to the ring and going crazy, but maybe just making an appearance.
on the stage, maybe, or
like you might also see
a distraction, hand a chair to somebody.
You might also see Shayna Baszler and the girls do something during that match too. That prompts, because here's the thing: Bayley and Sasha aren't on the pay per view.
Okay.
So,
so you think Baszler and the other two four horsewomen?
I think there's going to be a little bit of involvement from everywhere to build maybe towards. Maybe if they don't want to stretch it out to Survivor Series next year, maybe build that towards Rumble or Mania next year.
I'm sorry, Rand, you were saying we kind of interrupted and jumped in there.
Reasonable ideas. You're right. I didn't realize that Sasha and Bayley weren't on the card.
So you picking Charlotte or you picking Ronda?
I'm Ronda.
All right. I have down here that I just felt like the best way to put, and I'm going to pick Charlotte Flair. I think the best way to put her over is somehow to work that arm injury. You know, somehow, you know, you tell that story without any interference or distractions, but that arm injury, you know, Charlotte's not known for working on the arm, you know, but somewhere midway through the match, clothesline or something, Ronda hits the post or whatnot, injures that arm, and then it just goes right into that, you know, working the arm. And then I still feel, though, if you won via submission, that still would not damage Ronda Rousey, I don't think, as much as a clean fall.
And or pass out.
Or the pass out, yeah.
Like the Stone Cold ending.
Right, right. Yeah.
Any chance that Becky Lynch comes back, helps Charlotte? The other two girls come out and make the Four Horsemen at this one?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think there's still a chance maybe a build. If you see any of the girls, they got to start building that soon.
They have to. I don't know. How long are those other two going to be just on the fringe? You know, I mean, we've seen them in the crowd multiple times on NXT and in, you know, various arenas. Well,
they got involved at the last takeover.
They did. Correct. Yes, they did. They did. So... All right, let's go with, I'm just going to randomly pick a couple other matches here. I don't think I'm going in any particular order. This is how they are on my list. How about Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura?
I think Mr. Nakamura has been overlooked for quite a while. I think he needs to make a big splash.
I agree. He's been overlooked, but I think he'll win, and I think just because of Dean Ambrose the winner.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Shinsuke wins because Dean Ambrose gets involved somehow. Yeah, I
totally he might agree. Run over him with that 92 Pontiac that he was sitting on at Raw on Monday night.
Did anybody else think for a minute? Wait a minute. Did anybody else for a moment think that 55-gallon drum, like, that looked like CGI fire? To me, the first few seconds, I'm like, is that real or is that like CGI?
I was more like, are they taking pictures to put him on a Trapper Keeper? Like, because the old car and his leather jacket, I didn't know what was going on. The fire, the wind kind of, I don't know. But he definitely interferes. And it causes Seth to, obviously there's no titles on the line.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, Nakamura does need a nice win.
What do you think, Rand?
I think Nakamura and Asuka have been overlooked for too long. I think they deserve better than what they're being used as.
I kind of have an opinion about that when we get to the women's.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the women's. Here we go. 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw consists of Mickey James, Tamina, Nia Jax, Natalya, and Ruby Riott, with Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan. I have a problem with that. Why the hell do we need Logan and Morgan out there? I know they're a package deal. They come together with as part of the Riott Squad, but again, I've had problems with the Riott Squad ever since they debuted.
What is eye candy for 400, please, Alex? Come on, Liv and Sarah Logan. Very nice.
Okay. All right. They're taking on Team SmackDown, Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and TBA. In other words, to be announced. First of all, who fills the slot that Charlotte vacated? Or by Charlotte's fan? We are such juvenile.
We are the delinquents here.
Who fills the slot?
Who fills the slot?
Anyways, who takes the place of Charlotte on the women's SmackDown team?
See, that's I don't. What? Who would you put on there? Like, I don't. Like, I have is
Lana would be one. Nikki Cross maybe.
I think Nikki Cross because she wasn't out there.
Right.
I loved her promo with Becky Lynch.
Yes,
the week before.
That was fantastic.
Must play Becky.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be perfect. But what I see happening here is I see Asuka being the lone survivor. Because you talk about her being overlooked. I think this is a great way to get her. It'll be her down to her versus the two Samoan Twin Towers. And she takes them both out somehow.
See, I see that she's left against Tamina and Nia Jax, but I think that they take her out.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Takes two to take her out.
I have the fact that I think that Team Raw goes over because you have Morgan and Logan and Bliss at ringside, that there's some type of interference. And I know people at home are going, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of interference. Well,
what if a Raw person took the SmackDown slot? Where's Ember Moon during all this? She got beat up on Raw.
That's
true. What's she going to do?
Who's she get beat up by?
By Nia Jax and Tamina.
So she could join the other team and get back at them.
That's a good idea, Joey. That's a really good idea.
And she's such a great hand.
Like, yeah.
She made Tamina look good on Monday night. Yeah. I don't know if any of you... Okay, maybe it good to push, but she makes her look a lot better.
Okay.
I guess you don't... I think Ember's a great
worker. No, I don't. I don't think Ember Moon is a good worker. I'm sorry. I don't like the character. I don't get the character. I hate the Eclipse. I think it's a dumb finisher. I'm sorry.
You don't like the name, the Sheenom?
The Sheenom? No. I mean, I don't... Honestly, I don't have an opinion on that. I'm just not a big fan.
I think it makes it sound like a castrated Vietnam.
A castrated Vietnam.
Sheenom. Anyway. But no, maybe something like that. Maybe... God, I'm full of bad jokes tonight. Or dad jokes, whatever you want to call them. But I see maybe something like that happening, but I still think Asuka ends up being the lone survivor.
All right. We'll
that's my
on
that
what, one.
What'd you say? Who'd you say?
I said Team Raw wins with outside interference from one of the three there's left.
Who's
over.
Left?
Well, I mean, Bliss, Liv Tyler, or Liv Tyler. If Liv Tyler shows up, that would be sweet.
That would be a surprise,
anyways,
wouldn't it? That'd be crazy.
Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan and Alexa Bliss, one of the three get involved somehow.
Well, I think once Ruby Riott gets eliminated, that they're all going to go to the back.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's move on to the tag team event of AOP versus The Bar, which, correct me if I'm not wrong, did they not say on either last week's SmackDown or this week's Raw that this was a six-man match?
Originally, I thought so, yeah, but...
Yeah.
But it was going to be Maverick, whatever his name was going to be.
Yeah.
So it should have been a five-and-a-half-man match.
Drake Maverick?
Drake Maverick, correct, yes.
I thought they said something about that, which I'm glad they didn't
go
that route. I think this is going to be... I think it's going to be an underrated match. It's going to be very hard-hitting.
Yes.
It's going to be a throwback to, like, the tag teams that really beat the crap out of each other.
Yes.
I obviously see the bar going over somehow because Big Show's at ringside.
Which, okay, I must have missed this, and I, again, will freely admit that I did miss a couple SmackDown a couple weeks ago. When did the Big Show decide to join the bar? Like, when they discovered they still had him under contract, or, like, what?
Well, he came out to ringside and looked like he was going to help out the New Day, and he picked up Kofi and choke-slammed him.
Okay.
It was on the South Thousands episode because it was all making fun of, he's a face one week, he's a heel.
Okay.
So they played it up, in my opinion.
Who do you think goes over, Rand? AOP or The Bar?
I don't see AOP slowing down. I mean, they've come out and looked like beasts week after week.
And I agree with you. I think AOP goes over. I think you got to keep the momentum behind those guys. I think they win somehow. I wouldn't say a full clean finish, but I think it's a semi-clean finish, if you will, where they just...
I guess maybe Big Show interferes, and then they go back and forth, and somehow Drake Maverick, or whoever his name is, he gets the last interference. And
yeah, exactly. So here we go to the match that, honestly, I could care less who wins. I can't even predict a winner, but that would be the giant... tag team Survivor Series traditional match. Like, I don't even know.
It's five teams against five teams.
I know that, but I'm like...
Is there a six man on each side?
Yeah.
Because Lucha House Party.
Yeah, here we go. Team Raw has Bobby Roode, Chad Gable, The Revival, The B Team, The Lucha House Party, and The Ascension. They'll be taking on Team SmackDown, of The Usos, The New Day, Sanity, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, and the Colognes, who I didn't even know were still on the roster.
Totally forgot last night.
I haven't seen Gallows and Anderson lately either.
That's true.
I follow the Good Brothers on social media.
Right.
Just because I'm a Chad Allegra fan. Chad, too bad.
But look, I have no idea who to pick on this one because to me it's dead even.
Looks like a spot fest to me.
Well, probably.
I think you see... because they're trying to push this Roode and Gable tag team. I think Raw side wins. And I've been using Lone Survivor a lot. I don't think they'll be the Lone Survivors, but I think they're the two that'll be the team that shines in this match.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joey. I said the same thing. I wrote down that there's a lot of momentum behind Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. Rand?
I have no idea. Don't think that there's any value to the match. I think it's going to be a spot fest with very little story.
All right.
Okay. Well, I lost, like, the Raw Tag Team Division's really blowing my mind. Is you bring the Lucha House Party up from 205 Live.
Right, right.
And you had them go over on the Revival, which pissed me off to no end.
Because I bet it would, because you're a huge mark.
The Dash and Dawson are getting jobbed out. Jerbed. They took our jerbs. They're getting jobbed out like crazy, and so annoying. But anyways, I hope they take that pinata and shove it up Kalisto's butt somewhere during the match.
Okay, so then that leaves us our final match, which I'm sure will be on the pre-show. It'll probably be on hour one of the pre-show. I wrote myself a post.
How many hours of pre-show is this?
We have 2 hours.
We start at 12 o'clock. We start at noon this week.
So we have Buddy Murphy taking on Mustafa Ali for the Cruiserweight title.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah. I forgot about that, too. And this one, I just got to say they keep it on Murphy just because he's got the momentum.
And it'll make Mustafa Ali, they'll still make him look strong.
Yeah, exactly. You agree?
I totally agree with you. You know, Ali's such a great cruiser. He's a true cruiserweight that we're used to.
Right, right, yes.
But Buddy Murphy's more the, you know, the mat technician.
Rand, what do you think?
Sure.
These last two, Rand did not care for whatsoever.
But doesn't every pay-per-view have one or two matches?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, I think that the 10-man tag team match, like, I literally, last night when they were saying, oh, the Usos are going to pick their... I'm like, well, who are they going to pick? And I go, Sanity. I don't know. What other tag teams are on SmackDown? Like, I literally forgot about Anderson and Gallows, and I forgot about the Colognes.
When's the last time you saw the B-team on Raw?
Oh, that's a weird question, too.
I saw them in the Battle Royal. They were in that Battle Royal on Monday.
Sure.
See, what I thought was going to happen in that Battle Royal, I thought the lights were going to go out, and Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy were going to be in the ring.
Oh.
Or the Bludgeon Brothers.
Rowan's still out.
Yeah, they're still hurt.
Yeah, and yeah, Harper's hurt too, and there's been speculation as to he might be returning soon, though.
So I would like to, I think this would be a great way to bring, because Hardy's, everybody's saying he's going to be retired, but he showed up. He's been wrestling on house shows.
He has, but he's also been doing some agent work in the back as well, from what I understand, too.
They got to do something with Wyatt. I would have put Wyatt on Team Raw, personally. I don't know why they're just sitting on the sidelines. It's terrible.
Well, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about NXT War Games. That is the night before the Survivor Series. They only have 4 matches booked so far. So
they said they were only going to go with 4 because they didn't want people to think they had to end their matches early, because I guess they've had that.
Okay.
But they're bringing the matches too abruptly. And okay. So they're only going to go with the 4 probably, because the War Games match is going to go at least a half hour, 45 minutes.
Right, 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 right. All right, let's start with War Games. You have the Undisputed Era, those 4 gentlemen, Fish, O'Reilly, Strong, and Cole, taking on War Raiders, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest. I haven't watched NXT in several weeks, probably almost a month. So I'm a little bit in the dark as to how this came about in terms of Pete Dunne joining in on this.
Well, he's been crew. He teamed with Ricochet.
Oh, okay.
And he went again into the Disputed Era, and he just kind of brought him in there. I mean, because he's a good hand. So
he is, yeah.
And he's going to be, he's perfect for that match. The War Raiders are perfect for this match.
They are as well. They are.
I see the faces going.
Yeah, because I think, you know, again, I haven't watched in a month, but I think that the Undisputed Era, the fans want to see them get a taste of their own medicine, get their comeuppance, and I think you need to then segue into other things.
I'm excited to see Ricochet in that ring, too. Oh, yeah. Cage.
He's going to do some crazy-ass shit, you know, he has. Rand, any thoughts on NXT or no?
Sure.
You're sitting this one out as well. Shayna Baszler is going to take on Kairi Sane again for the NXT Women's title.
I don't know if I'm in a minority with this.
Okay.
I just cannot get into Kairi Sane.
I cannot either. You're not in a minority.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't. Like, Paul Burchill I can buy as a pirate. Kaylee Burchill I can buy as his ancestral sister pirate. I can't buy Kairi Sane as a pirate.
Yeah.
And I can't buy her. I think they want to keep the belt on Shayna until she goes up to the main roster. I can see her showing up on the main roster with the belt, to be honest with you.
Could she be the other surprise entrant?
No, because I think they're going to keep her closely tied to Ronda.
Yeah, I think so.
Keep them together.
Yes, I think so too.
But I see Shayna keeping the belt.
I was going to say, does Shayna show up and drop it in a trash can?
Okay.
Maybe Monday night.
Let's rewind that, since you brought up my distant third cousin, since I go by Joey Blaze, Alunder Blaze.
Okay.
It was cool that she was out there, at the pay-per-view at Evolution, but
yeah.
What was up with that outfit?
I don't know. That outfit looked like, it literally looked like she put it in the dryer and like it just got misshapen, didn't it?
That's exactly, it was like.
Like she doesn't use wool light on those trunks, that's for sure.
And she's somebody that I think could fit that outfit still pretty well at her age.
She's a good looking woman, yeah.
And that was one of the things I took away that was weird. Also, I know we're talking way off gate because, you know, talking about Evolution. Our young lady that from GLOW that just went into the Hall of Fame.
Ivory.
Was she injured during that match? I never read anything, but she just laid there most of the match. Like most of the women I sleep with, she just laid there.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Anyway, sorry. But yeah, back from that. I don't know how we got to that with the Alundra Blaze again, but whatever. Throwing the belt in the trash.
I agree with you. I think Shayna Baszler holds on to the belt. I don't get Kairi Sane either. It's not only the character, but like I think her work, there's something missing to her work, and I can't put my finger on it. Like there's just something missing to how she maneuvers around that ring that just does, I don't buy. I don't know what it is.
I'll tell you what I buy is like Toni Storm in there because she's an awesome worker. Like,
yes.
There's a lot of these young ladies, women's division, NXT, that's going to come up and do something.
Yeah.
I think Kairi Sane did her thing, and I think she can kind of just fade away.
I thought that, you know, you speak
obsolete.
Of...
Obsolete? Sorry.
You speak of Evolution. I thought that Toni Storm had the best match against that. She's amazing. EO. Yeah, EO.
That match was great.
Yeah, that match was fantastic. I mean, it really was. It was great. So, going back to NXT War Games, Johnny Gargano takes on Aleister Black.
So are they putting him back with Ciampa after all that?
I don't know.
They're teasing it on social media. Ciampa comes out and says, well, I don't see anything wrong with what he did.
You know, I don't know. I've been on record. I'm not a huge fan of Aleister Black. I don't get the character. I'm much like you had said, too, in a previous installment. Kind of tired of the strikers. You know, can we get
But you're
somebody?
Getting that. You're still getting, you got it with Riddle now.
I know.
You're going to get with that guy. Just Aleister Black looks like a district manager for Hot Topic.
Well.
But not to disgrace or say anything bad about Hot Topic. If you'd like to sponsor the show, feel free to get
a hold please.
Of
yeah.
Mr. Orlando.
There you go. Thank you. Probably one of the matches I'm most looking forward to is, of course, Ciampa defending the NXT title against the Velveteen Dream.
You didn't talk about what happens on the Aleister Black match. Who wins?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think they go with Black. I think they put Aleister Black over.
So you're betting on Black?
What do you
think, Mr. Rand?
Just what I learned from Wesley Snipes. You always bet on Black.
Took my line.
Stolen. Yes. I'm going to go away from this. I'm going to go and full heel move Gargano winning just because he just flips out and takes him out.
But I'm really interested in this main event. Let me back up. I don't know if this is going to be the main event, but this is, to me... It's the title match. It should be the main event. I'm sure they're going to put War Games on last. I think still Ciampa holds on to the belt, but I'm so looking forward to what the Dream pulls out, you know, because he's got such great hijinks, the enthusiasm that he brings to that character. I'm looking forward to it.
From ring entrance clear to the last bell, you want to know what he's doing.
Right.
You know, he's going to have you with what he was going to wear to the ring.
Yep.
Does his ring work?
What message is he going to have on his ass for Vince this time?
He's kind of the next Goldust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the way that he can just bring you in.
Exactly.
Like he did it as a heel, and now they brought him into this as a face. Kind of. I know that sounds kind of weird, but to compare the two, but it just brings you in, and you just want to see it work. And he is so good on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to see him keep the title, but I think you got to keep it on Ciampa to keep him strong.
Yeah, definitely.
Ram, what do you think?
In the word of Funaki, indeed.
There you go. Last little bit of news here that I just found and was going to throw out here real quick. It looks that, January 6th, 2019, Nashville, Tennessee at the Asylum, TNA Impact is returning. I'm sorry, Impact Wrestling is returning. They're no longer TNA, with a pretty stacked crowd, a pretty stacked event, excuse me. World Heavyweight Title match, Brian Cage versus Johnny Impact. You have Pentagon Jr. and Rey Fénix against the LAX. Taya Valkyrie versus Tessa Blanchard, Eli Drake versus Abyss in a Monsters Ball match, Rich Swann versus Jake Crist versus Trey Miguel versus Ethan Page for the X Division title. Have you guys watched any new Impact Wrestling? Because I've heard really good things
about it. What channel is it even on?
Still on Pop.
I don't even get Pop, or I would probably watch it because I was reading the results from their shows they just did in Vegas.
Yeah.
This sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Like,
I like what they're doing with Eli Drake's character. He's always been good on the mics. Now they're doing that hardcore stuff with him and reading the spoilers leading up to what's going to happen at that show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Brian Cage mark. A guy that size that can move like a cruiserweight at times is awesome. I think that's going to be a great main event because Johnny Impact, Johnny Nitro, whatever his name is, whatever you want to call him.
You forgot Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, and then what was before that with John Morrison?
John Morrison,
So I think is going to be a very good match. And I think the X Division match, it sounds pretty stacked in my opinion, too. So
yeah, and I'll tell you right now from All In, I'm super impressed with Pentagon. I mean, that dude, his work rate is incredible, but he is so over. Like, I didn't anticipate him being that over, but people love that dude. And rightfully so. He's got some charisma, even though, you know, he's a mass luchador. He's got a lot of charisma. Rand, any thoughts on Impact? Do you get pop or no?
Yes, I get pop. It's on Wild Way Channel 306.
Okay.
For those of you keeping track at home.
So, but you haven't dabbled any.
I know where it is. It just...
The actual movement of using your thumb to type in the numbers on the remote is too much?
Apparently, I'm not motivated.
Okay. I would be motivated for the roster they got now. I think they're finally got to the point where with the roster, when you got... our boys from down in Dayton down there doing stuff.
OVE.
And Impact. So, I mean, I think they're going the right direction. I just think they tried to use too many names at that one point. It just drove so many people away.
Yeah, and I think...
And they're still hurting from that.
Right, and I think Scott D'Amore taking over the book, as well as Cyrus, a.k.a. Don Callis, taking over the book and being a little more hands-on has helped out. Because, you know, for all of his faults, as somebody who would frequently listen to Storm and Cyrus's podcast... He's got a good mind for the business. I mean, you know, Don Callis knows what he's doing. He's got a very sharp mind for the business. And so I think that, you know, Impact is in good hands, you know, in his hands as well.
Well, like I said, I just read the spoilers for the shows coming up that are on Impact. They sound like they were booked nice.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I wouldn't mind watching that show, but...
I don't get it either, so,
unfortunately.
All right, have you guys seen the trailer that dropped today, Fighting With My Family? This, of course, is the Page... biopic, so to speak. I guess you could call it that. I don't know. I don't know what the official genre will be of the title, but or of the movie. You haven't seen this?
I saw the one preview. What I'm trying to figure out is if our friend from the New Days in this one, as well as the other movies, in with her.
No. Let's see. The theme for this episode has not been only the Survivor Series, but adult movies.
You're the one that just brought it up. I didn't say anything. You must know a little bit more about it than I do.
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. Nod, nod, wink, wink.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and,
okay, but no.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I know the kind of background about it. I'm sure you're going to kind of run
it. Yeah, so supposedly it's the journey that Paige took to get from, you know, from England to the WWE. And it talks about her growing up in a very odd family. You know, because let's be honest, her parents were wrestlers and they toured all around England. And, you know, there's a little snippet in there in the trailer about how the rest of the town and the rest of some of the people that Paige interacted with didn't understand it, you know, didn't understand pro wrestling. I honestly remember seeing a snippet of it and I wasn't so sure about how, what's the word I'm looking for? How not good, but how impressive it might be. It's pretty impressive that it has got Nick Frost starring in it as Ricky, Paige's dad. Lena Headey, for those of you that watch Game of Thrones, she's in it as her mom.
Sciatic nerve.
Is that what? No, not sciatic nerve.
I get her name mixed up too. It's not
an easy one to say.
It's like Paige's name is an easy.
Correct. One. Yes. It's produced by The Rock, but Stephen Marchant is the director, which I was a little bit taken aback by that. For those of you that don't know, he's the man. Well, one half of the team that brought you The Office, Stephen Marchant, and a ton of other things as well. But
which makes sense. You're talking about the original Office.
Yeah, the original Office. He and Ricky Gervais, were the guys behind The Office. I think it looks really, really good. I would definitely say, folks, you should check it out. Of course, there's a great, great scene with The Rock in it. You know, would expect, because, you know, The Rock is darn good.
And there's a scene with Xavier Woods in it.
Okay, there is.
I read about it somewhere.
I'm sure you did. Maybe when you were partying with Marty.
Yes, party with Marty. We still need to do that.
You know, let's just give the fans.
Here, I'm gonna throw this out there. Okay. We need a sponsor. We need a sponsor for the show. It's not my show, and I'm taking this over, and I'm saying this just because we want to set and we want to have a podcast with party Marty with Jeanette. Marty joining us on the PVD cast. Just sit right here in the new spacious studio that we have, which the upgrades are tremendous, by the way. The soundproof.
Thank you.
The pictures that you have.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you spent lots of money on it. And the production value is amazing.
Yes.
So what we need to do is invite Mr. Jeanette onto the show. I'm sure that might cost a little money, so if there's any sponsors out there who want to throw down, why not?
Hey, I will say this, though. We did look right before we started recording, and it seems that not much is going on in the world of Marty Jeanette, by the
way. Which makes even more sense now.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he learned not to... I don't know, I cannot confirm this, but maybe he was drinking and Facebooking, and maybe that's why we got some weird posts.
I've never done that. You've never been on social media before. I've never drank before, really, either. Anyway.
Anyways, that you remember. All right, gentlemen, let's wrap this bad boy up.
What's this? What do you have? Don't you usually have points that you want to talk about? Rands, whatever?
Afterwards, I have a list of the 10 best wrestling documentaries.
Oh, well, you didn't mention that you had this.
Well.
Okay, all right. Wait a minute. I was preemptive. I was a little premature in my closing there.
This came off of the internet, so you know it's true.
He's trying to fill slots over here, so.
I just want to know if either of you have seen
these
as released. All right.
Which is a great segue, because you're just talking about Paige's
movie.
Yeah. So go right ahead.
The legit number 10 one. Is The Rise and Fall of WCW.
I have not seen that, surprisingly.
Produced by WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, so.
The Warrior, The Ultimate Legend.
Is that the new one, or is that the old one?
The old one.
Yeah, because I own it. It's over there on the shelf.
The old one's good, because they take digs at him.
Right.
Especially they shoot on him.
Yeah, especially Jericho, and is it Christian doing the impression of him is awesome.
They're talking about.
Yeah, the Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan.
Wrestling, British wrestler. I don't know anything about that.
No.
Not familiar with that one.
No. Forever Hardcore.
I've seen that one. In fact, I believe I own that one over there as well.
Is that who's in that? Terry Funk?
No. It was that era that just as ECW went out of business, right? And Shane Douglas had the Hardcore Homecoming tour that he was doing. They had put out that DVD, Forever Hardcore. They put out the actual first show that they did. And then they did a documentary on it. The documentary is pretty darn good.
Okay.
One I do know that I've seen is CM Punk, Best in the World.
I've seen that. It's a very good one. It's a very good one.
Number five, one I really want to see. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman.
That's a good one.
That's a fantastic one. Own that one as well.
Beyond the Mat, I've seen.
Yeah, great fantastic.
Movie. Number three, The Rise and Fall of ECW. This one's 5 hours long. I don't know that I can see anything.
It's
5 hours long.
Well, I own that one as well, but it's on multiple discs, so I don't know if it's technically 5 hours long.
So what's nice, there's a little button on there called pause or stop that you can go back and watch it the next day. Yeah. It's amazing.
Number two, Louis Theroux's Weird Weekend.
What the fuck?
I know.
I've never even heard of that.
I don't know. Is that the sequel to Weekend at Bernie's?
I don't think so.
Weekend at Bernie's 3?
Actually, there was a Weekend at Bernie's 2.
There was.
Yeah.
As if he wasn't dead enough in the first one.
Wait a minute. This is a sidebar. Did it have the same stars? Because I was thinking that...
Did
it have Andrew McCarthy?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I thought one of them didn't come back for that. Okay, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
And number one, according to this list, was Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows.
Yeah, I have it on VHS.
That's a good one. That's a very good one.
One I saw this last weekend was... The Unreal World of Professional Wrestling, narrated by Steve Allen, so it goes back to...
I've seen that one. Yeah.
Talks with Luthez, a lot of old-school hookers and shooters.
They aired it on A&E. I don't know if A&E produced it, but they aired it on A&E. I remember
that. I'm a fan of old-school hookers, so yeah.
Which ones are not on the list that you would put on there? I think the Jake the Snake Roberts one... Either one of them actually is fantastic. I would put on that list.
One I got to put on there. The one about Sheiky Baby.
Oh, yeah.
And the Big White, the Brady West say, you get the Sheiky Baby, the Crack Rock. That I wish I would have saved that voicemail.
Yes. For listeners at home that don't know, DJ Joey Blaze received a voicemail
Two
voicemails, excuse me.
Big White, this is Sheiky Baby again. Brady says, just get me Crack Rock.
Yes, apparently at an independent show here in the area, the Iron Sheik was booked and decided to call DJ Joey Blaze and leave him
voicemail. As I slept.
That as night. You slept, because it was like, what, 3 in the morning or something like that?
It was like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and okay. He was out with Brady West and Christian. Not to be confused with Christian from the WWE.
No. You mean the Silver Gun Superman?
Yes.
A.K.A. Yeah. Cage?
Yeah, the architect of...
Anarchy.
I would say, no, it was the architect of aggression. I would just say...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the architect of just being average is what I would say. But anyway, Mr. Lancaster himself, which I'm pretty sure that all the women Lancaster is only two that he hasn't slept with or has kids with.
Are you talking about Cage?
Yeah, I'm talking about, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's like...
It's a shoot is what it is right now. It's a shoot. He doesn't listen to the show. See, they don't even get internet in Lancaster. They wouldn't even know what this is.
Okay, okay now. Okay now. All right now. Easy.
Sorry.
Easy. Calm down. All right. Fabulous list. Anything else? Ringside.
Well, you put Andre the Giant one on
right.
there.
Right. I want to see the Andre the Giant HBO. Which is more about his life outside.
Yeah, it's really good. Is,
yeah.
Yeah. I may even put the Flair 30 for 30 on there, too.
That
that
yes.
That was
fantastic.
That was phenomenal. That could have been 300 for 300. Yeah.
Which was the one where Harley Race played the Booker? When it was behind the scenes, what was that called? You had Ben Hurt, and they always had those cheesy names. It was on A&E, too.
Oh, yeah. What was that called? My phone's over there. I can't look it up.
Anyways, that, even as cheesy as it was good. Like,
I thought you were going to talk about The Wrestler and not the Aronofsky film, but the one from the 70s with Vern Gagne.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what you were going to go with. No. That's where I thought you was going, but now I do remember that.
Because Harley Race, they put a shadow on him, and Dale Wilkes was in it, too. Yes. And they put the shadow on him, and they all had fake names. Like the real inside scoop on pro wrestling or something. And that was literally the day you could probably say kayfabe totally died, because they just gave away all the backstage stuff.
Yeah.
On that, which was pretty cool.
Wait, was that on A&E or was that on NBC? Because did they use the quote, "The fans are duped again"?
Yes.
That was on NBC. Okay. With Harley Race. Yeah, that one. I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, they gave away all
behind
the scenes.
Behind the curtain or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. The fans are duped again. Well,
this is the same era where they had the mysterious magician giving away all the secrets.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He had like the Mortis mask because he looked like Chris Kanyon, like Mortis. And I was like, what? All right. Have you found this particular gem?
I'm looking.
Okay.
I am looking.
Efforting.
Let me see here. TV. Harley Race as the Booker TV show. Not RV. I don't. Okay. On a quick side note, as I'm looking this up, do you follow Randy Quaid on Twitter?
No, I do not. That's very random.
That is another great. That is the. I would call him from in the entertainment world.
Yeah.
He's like the Marty Jannetty of the entertainment world.
So if there are any sponsors out there that would like to pay to bring Randy Quaid into Columbus so that he can come over to Casa de la Orlando, we could have a podcast with him, too.
Now, you might have a problem because with Randy. He got in trouble for just squatting. And I'm not talking about using the restroom.
No, that's right.
He was squatting and staying in houses, and he got in trouble for that.
Are you going to say that if I invite him in, he will stay forever?
He might move in with
me. He just move in.
Would be kind of cool to have Cousin Eddie.
That's right.
Christmas is coming up.
That's true. I was going to say, you beat me to it. I don't think the neighbors want to see him emptying the container out in the...
Exposed pro wrestling's greatest secret.
Yes, that's the one that was the fans are duped again.
As he played Booker.
Booker.
And there was a guy called Colossus, All-American. Gary Wolf was in that. Pitbull number 2. He played
Brute Force. With or without the equipment.
I think that was before the Halo. It's not too soon. That was 21 years ago. We can talk about it, make fun of it.
And speaking of not too soon, kind of too soon, do you want to dedicate this podcast to anybody out there today that we just lost recently?
Man.
I'm surprised you haven't said anything on the podcast.
I actually have mentioned in the intro to my last episode that, yeah, Stan Lee, man, I don't even know, what do you say? I mean, you can't really, I mean, in all honesty, he's like the foundation of American pop culture. What do you say?
Well, anybody in the room, I mean, you'd have the most to say if there was anybody, because you are a huge comic book fan. I liked my comics. I know enough to be dangerous, but I know you're...
Yeah.
I really hope he had a good life, because he gave so much to so many people.
No, he did. He did. And you know, there's a lot of controversies that surround him, as with anybody. But yeah, I mean, you can't just discount what he created, you know? I mean, he gave so much to the world in terms of his characters and his ideas and his voice and whatnot. you know, I just saw a funny tweet today of a picture of Adam West shaking hands with Stan Lee, and the caption read, "Man, heaven right now has got one hell of a party going on." Oh. I probably believe it.
So what was your favorite character that he developed, created?
I always enjoyed the X-Men.
Yeah.
I did, because I think because it was a little more relatable in regards to, you know, because it's sticking out and being different and whatnot. Plus, I'll say this, that when I started reading the X-Men, that was the Claremont run. So, I mean, so it wasn't, you know, Stan had created these characters, and then, you know, to me, I think the Chris Claremont run is the most impactful run. His creative work was really well done, and it just kind of took that not fitting in motif and just took it even a little bit darker and a little bit deeper, and I liked that. And you?
What can you? I mean, from Spider-Man, yeah. I mean, there's so many iconic ones, but what I was going to say, and I know we're kind of going off because we talk about wrestling, and you brought up the X-Men. There's a rumor that they're going to put the mutants, they're going to introduce them in the next... maybe the next Black Panther movie. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Hmm.
But there's a rumor that they're going to be... That was one of the rumors I heard going around, which is... that could be a whole podcast talking about sure. that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're already talking about introducing the mutants probably in 2020. Sorry, I had to nerd out a little bit.
No, that's all right, man.
What about you, Rand? Did you...
Who's your favorite?
Comics?
Yeah.
Any comic heroes? Did you read comic books at all growing up? Or?
Very little.
Yeah.
I just like TV shows. I mean, Batman, for example.
Okay. All right.
And to me, Batman is that campy TV show in the 60s and 70s more than anything else.
Or the Hulk TV show, which was great when they brought in Thor. And that was talking about cheesy. Now, that was cheesy.
Well, they had a series of specials, wasn't there? Yeah, and that's what you're talking about, from like in the late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, they had... And
Stan Lee made a cameo in those.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
There was... And I know we probably want to cut this here soon. If you ever get to go on Conan's Facebook feed, Conan O'Brien, he had an interview, sat down with him like in 95 or 96.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the time they introduced the comics, the DC versus Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool. It's funny hearing him talk about it and stuff like that. And Conan's like, ooh, Spider-Man, I climb walls. Like, that's it. And you want him to go get somebody like Superman, and just to hear the banter
between those two,
and just to hear the banter of anything Stanley, even up to his mid 90s, like,
hey, look,
sharp as a tack.
And I'll just say right now, Stanley's performance in Mallrats to me is one of my favorite Stanley moments.
That's my favorite cameo.
Yes, it is. That's my favorite cameo right there of Stanley. I mean, all the ones he did for the Marvel movies were fantastic, but his cameo in Mallrats. You know,
favorite Marvel woman.
Favorite Marvel.
Marvel cameo.
Oh, damn, that's a hard one.
I've also heard that he's recorded several more cameos for movies that haven't been.
Correct. Yes, they are planning. I think they've stated that it'll be Avengers. He'll have one in Avengers.
Including the last episode of Big Bang Theory.
Really?
That should be in a couple months.
Okay.
Wow.
That's really hard to come up with.
My favorite, I think, was because I'm a DJ, was Deadpool.
Yeah.
Where he's a strip club DJ.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I like the one, and I'm trying to remember what it was from, but him and Lou Ferrigno are the security guards.
That was the Hulk.
That was the Hulk. That's right. Yeah. I think that one was probably a really good one. Man, the Deadpool one's a good one, too.
The fact that you can't find one obvious one.
Yeah.
You get a lot of good stuff.
Yeah,
but exactly. I like, too, what Funko did with the Stan Lee pops, which all of a sudden... went right up as soon as he passed, but they did some where he played different characters, whether it was in Captain America or so there's different pops.
Oh,
out
really?
There.
That's cool.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had a line of those. I'm guessing now they'll probably produce more.
Probably. All right. Let's tell folks where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, Rand, why don't you go ahead and go? Where are they going
to
find you?
I think it's
media?
Part of the mainstream media to suppress the Golden Ghetto. The lawyers of
Do we cheat him and how?
Sitz, Waits, and Doolittle are already on the case.
Just be honest. Rand's having a small problem with his social media right now, but, you know.
It's unsocial media right now.
That's right. It's unsocial media.
I think he looked at something he probably wasn't supposed to look at
from
the sounds of it.
No. All right.
He looked up Paige's movie in the wrong movie. at DJ Joey Blaze on Twitter, on Facebook.
Any more Blue Jacket games coming up?
I have no idea. That's all booked by Matty Sexton. He books me in those. Which that was a pretty fun experience, for sure.
You got to DJ a Columbus Blue Jackets game.
Well, I...
Like just, the pre-party, right?
Well, in the entrance way when you come in. I don't get to do any before the ice or anything. But yeah, it was a nice thing. Nice little collaboration with Matty Sexton out there. So.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. We'll maybe we'll adjourn and then reconvene in a few weeks and see how spot on we were with our predictions. Sound like a plan?
Sounds great.
Cool.
See you later, mortals.
All right, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly, giving you our thoughts, our opinions, our insights on what might happen this weekend at the Survivor Series. And, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll have to see what happens there on Sunday, and maybe we'll have a few of those predictions correct. Maybe we'll be totally off base. Again, if you want to tell me what you think about my predictions, my thoughts, or this podcast, or whatever, you can shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at @PVDMVP. You can even drop me a line over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, that, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. Don't forget to let everybody know that they can get this podcast a variety of places, including pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. So this is available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Libsyn Podcast Player, The Echo Network, Pod Paradise. Oh, heck, a bunch of different places, ladies and gentlemen. Just search for it. Guaranteed, you will find the PVDcast wherever you get podcasts from. So with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you all for listening. I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.